Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is May 23rd, 2022, and this is a regular town council meeting for the town of Curry Beach. Meeting called to order. Alan, will you please start with the invocation and then the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, let us pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here. Bless each person present. We pray that this meeting is successful, productive, and blessed. Guide us during our discussions. Give us wisdom concerning the issues that we face. We give you the glory for all the good things that we are accomplishing here today. Amen. Let us stand for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, just as a point of reference, Commissioner Allen, are you on the telephone?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I appreciate you not coming when you don't feel well. And Commissioner Panicali, you should feel free to leave as required with your personal situation you have right now.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's move on to the approval of the consent agenda. Do I have any recommended changes to the consent agenda?
Make a motion we approve as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Moving on to the adoption of the regular agenda.
Mr. Mayor, under Recreation Department reports of 8.7, we need to table the Christmas show memo that, and it will, I assume we're going to try to do it next month, Nikki?
Yes.
Okay, we'll just move that to next month's agenda.
Okay, so that's correcting the agenda. Any other changes to the agenda?
Under old business 9.5, can we add the emergency response plan since it's the May meeting? We need to discuss it.
9.5, emergency response plan.
Yes, sir.
Okay. May I have a motion for the agenda as corrected?
Make a motion to adopt with the two corrections noted. Order.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. We'll move into the public comment. We have a Mr. Lawrence, is it Shotwell?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would you please state your name and your address?
Yes, sir. Lawrence Shotwell, I live at 701 K3 Boulevard, right across from Carolina Beach.
Mm-hmm.
The issue that I'm here for in the road here, we're all members of the Pleasure Island Disc Golf Club. And mm-hmm. So we are a small community-based organization that we like to call our home base at Joe Weeks Park at the disc golf course there. And the issue before that we would like the council to consider this evening is that with the recent change to the parking at Joe Weeks, the 3 hour, we have, as part of our regularly occurring first week of the month is our kind of our local homegrown tournament. We have a tournament we put on every Sunday. We try to do the various courses throughout the community, but Curry Beach is our home. And the 3 hour parking limit is causing us as a club some issues. The issue is, in particular, on the, we call it the monthly, it's kind of the big show, I guess you'd want to call it, but it consists of 2 rounds. And each round takes us about 2 hours and 15 minutes per round. And then in the interim, sir, we try as a club to move the baskets. We have, the course is laid out, it's bifurcated into two different layouts, the regular and the alternative, and then we The one round will be the regular layout. The second round will be the alternative layout, which we have to go out and move baskets to from spot to spot in order to facilitate the second round of the tournament. And all in all, in particular, Bill and Candy, who are locals here in Curry Beach, who run it, we have Candy, our president, and our first man, Bill. we need, particularly them, we probably need 5 hours, 4.5 hours to effectuate the entire process from getting there an hour early, getting set up, and then the changing of the baskets and then kind of the presentations of the awards as it goes. So the last tournament we had out there, we kind of pulled up what we were understood to be what we should do is everybody got in their car, moved spots, which seems kind of, well, it is ridiculous. So we understand and actually are on board with the fact that those parking spaces should be used for pickleballers and dog runners and people who enjoy the park and not for people to take the minivan and dump the kids off at the beach and park for free at the park. If I had to guess, I'm not a mind reader, but I suspect that's the issue. So on Sundays, we are going to need, or we need more than 3 hours, or we need to move our cars. The solutions that we have talked to as a club that we discussed are twofold. One was if somehow some instructions can be made in conjunction with some sort of pass, maybe a standard pass that you guys issued, or maybe one that we drew up that you recognize that we could put up, that you could know that we're there for the tournament. That would be one solution. The second solution, I think, that may be a little bit easier in practicality also for us as well, is the grass section next to the, I guess where the practice basket is, or adjacent to the parking lot where, you know, the maintenance guys go in there. I'm assuming that's some sort of water treatment well or something there that they use, that if we could open that up on Sundays, we certainly as a club could take the responsibility for opening up, allowing people in, shutting it off. That, you know, we'd probably let people park from 9 to 10 and then shut it off, you know, as it may be, to allow the members to avoid the prospect of getting a ticket and those types of things. And I'm sure y'all are aware that we are largely, I mean, I can know these five people here, there's about six or seven of them, and we're the ones that pick up the white claw cans and fix, you know, everything and pull the chain. We have cleanups, what Candy wants to do. Yeah, we have a pretty good turnout. There's another meeting we're going to come and we talk to you about helping us out, making it, you know, nicer, because it's a really asset that we love around here.
We are aware that you guys did a good job keeping that quite clean.
And that right there,
right.
Really,
so thank you, because that is a big part why the town does pay the lease for a lot of that land back there. How many people are normally there on your tournament day?
Well, our tournaments, it's the big tournament, so I would say we have somewhere between 15 and 25, depending on the weather. Probably 20 vehicles, I would guess, would be, you know, there's some carpool and then there's a couple people who walk. So I would guess it would be 20 to 25 cars max, you know,
okay.
The older, the crappier, the less, and then, you know, the opposite.
So what you would like is 5 hour parking.
I think five would cover six. Probably six would probably.
All day parking.
That would be better than doing it.
Okay.
So. Now, what we usually do with this, because this is not an agenda item, we listen to what you have to say, that's important, and then we will think this through and probably address it at another meeting. But so thank you for what you do, and we're interested in what we can do. So.
Yeah, and obviously those are just two suggestions. You know, there's anything that could keep us from having to shuffle the cars and everybody have that little bit of extra stomach acid when you're on the last team, thinking you're going to get towed or not. Hard enough job industry as it is.
One
okay.
day a month, really.
Yeah,
like
it's one day a month. It's the first Sunday of every month.
Yeah, that's what I was listening to. So, first Sunday.
First Sunday.
Okay, well.
And I even made a parking pass that I noticed that the Beecher Nourishment guys have in their cars. So, it would say it's only valid for that day. Like, like, mm-hmm. it's not a, you know, park lunch pass. Mm-hmm. It's just something to just keep, like, the town be aware that okay. this is the day yeah. that we're doing this.
There would be a couple ways we could do it. That is one. But, so, thank
any,
you.
Any help you all would give us, we would certainly appreciate it.
Thank you very much. You bet. The next individual is Candy McLennan.
We did hit it.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Very good. All right. So we will take that under consideration.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Moving on to committee business, Bike Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Mo, got something for us?
I have six bullet points, but I will make haste.
Okay.
WMPO has proclaimed May as Bike Month, which is a celebration and promotion of the benefits of cycling. It's promoted by the League of American Bicyclists and celebrated in communities throughout the United States. National Bike Month is a chance to showcase the many benefits of bicycling and encourage more individuals to bike, both as a means of transportation and recreation. The WMPO is committed to the promotion of safe and convenient bicycling and increased use of the mode to support our multi-modal transportation network. The WMPO and GoCoast encourage bicycling as a safe and clean mode of transportation. Bike for your health, to reduce traffic, for clean air, to engage with your community, and much more. Last month, a few of us on the committee were able to meet with Andrew Meeker, the new East Coast Greenway representative for North Carolina. He called the East Coast Greenway Blueberry Pie to Key Lime Pie, since it goes from Maine to Key West, Florida. And I also was able, because the next day I was at the WMPO Bike Ped Advisory Committee, to watch his presentation via PowerPoint. And we want to do everything we can to encourage the continuation of the East Coast Greenway through our town. He spoke about connectivity, the positive economic impact the Greenway has on small towns like ours. And then, a couple of weeks later, Commissioner Oliver actually met a couple traveling through our town, staying overnight, eating in our restaurants. And you can follow them on Facebook at Barb and Jean's Excellent East Coast Adventure. They're riding from Key West to...
They were coming through Caribbean. Yeah.
Andrew also talked to us about possible grants for feasibility studies and maybe other ways that we can connect with the East Coast Greenway for funding issues and that type of thing. Number three. Eileen Clute, who's on our committee, is heading up this year's team for the Tour de Blueberry, which is a virtual ride held June 10th through the 18th. Now, last year was the first year that we did that. And we were the biggest team with 25, 26 members. And the money that is raised, this is the Cape Fear Cyclist, and it's their main money-making fundraiser for the year. And the way this money comes back to our town was proven last month when we had the traffic garden for the kids for our 75th anniversary celebration. And we had volunteers from Cape Fear Cyclists, Terry Benji Bicycling Foundation, the League of American Bicyclists, who actually showed us how to do this, because quite honestly, I had no idea what to do. And they kind of took it over, thank God. And it was a very successful event. And 25 bike helmets were given out to kids that day. Number four, our committee was contacted via our committee email address by Tony Sumter, who's a multimodal regional planner of the Coastal Plains Integrated Mobility Division of NCDOT. And he just was curious about what we're doing down here in Huri Beach to make multimodal transportation successful. So So he will actually give a presentation at our meeting in June, the first Monday of the month at 3 o'clock. Number five, some things we are hoping to have completed soon. One, the paving and signage for the spot lane connector. Two, the flashing crosswalk sign at M and Fort Fisher. And three, the encroachment agreement for NCDOT, which Commissioner Oliver can maybe speak more to. And then number six, Commissioner John Ellen brought to our attention the U.S. Senate's advancement of a landmark bipartisan policy, America's Outdoor Recreation Act of 2022. This happened on May 3rd. So what this shows is our federal government, our state government, our county government are all planning for the future. Bicycle usage, whether for transportation, recreation, increased health benefits, and connectivity will only increase, and we need to improve our infrastructure today for our children tomorrow. Any questions?
No, Mo.
Thank you, Mo.
Not from me. Thank you. Oh, Counselor?
Is the blueberry event just like last time?
Exactly like last time, and we adjusted the liability waiver. We took out 2021 and just left the date so they could fill it in.
You got it as a Word document, you've already changed.
Sean here.
Yeah, it's exactly what you approved last year.
Yeah, I just want to make sure the year was changed.
That's yeah, good. Yeah.
Thank you for taking care of it.
Thank you, Mo. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the work you guys are doing. And we're going to see quite a bit of that, I guess, later on today. Community Center Committee. Okay, no report. Actually, there was no quorum. Anybody interested in joining that committee, please step forward. We could use some more help. Historical Preservation Commission. I did get information from Craig Galbraith. He said they'd had really nothing to report. I don't know if anybody else here does.
Yeah.
Okay. Historical, Land Use Plan Committee. Any information on the Land Use Plan, where we stand?
Your consent agenda, we're finished.
Yeah, we're mm-hmm. finished.
We finished.
We produced a draft document. It's gone through planning and zoning. Well, it went from the committee and then through planning and zoning with a recommendation to council to forward it to DCM for the required state review. And that authorization to send it to DCM was on your consent agenda.
Right. I read the consent agenda. I'm sure, but when I look through the detail, it was just
to send it on to DCM.
Okay.
We will have more procedural requirements when it comes back.
Okay. All right.
But you're on the home stretch.
The committee's not meeting either.
So they're done. So they got all nine chapters concluded.
We're finished, yes, sir.
All right. So we'll look forward to taking a look at that. Marketing committee presentation. Steve, welcome.
Thank you. Mayor, commissioners, thank you for letting me speak tonight. My name is Steve Stefanovich. I'm at 328 Curios Lane. I'm a member of your Curie Beach Marketing Committee. Mm-hmm. And I'm here on behalf of Ann Gibson, who was unable to be here tonight to give this report. So
okay.
I hope that you all have received this prior to my arrival and mm-hmm. have studied it very well, because it's a lot on here. I will not go line by line. I don't think that's necessary. You all understand these numbers as well or better than most of us. But there obviously is a large increase due to the forecasted numbers of dollars increased in the TDA budget. Obviously, this is all under legislation. The state is the one that sets the rules up for all of this. I learned this in a 40-minute session last Wednesday in preparation for this tonight. So I'm here to answer any questions or get you the answers. Probably get you the answers.
So Arlen, did I don't know if you even looked at this or not, but it almost doubles in total. Is that the same thing you're seeing for what we put in our budget as well? Because the numbers should match, right?
I didn't go quite to that extreme.
Okay, so you're a little more conservative?
Right.
Okay.
This is, of course, their forecast, Commissioner.
Right.
So
I understand.
It obviously
yeah.
is right. a moving target. So.
No, I understand. Well, I mean, I trust Arlen more than their forecast for our budget, at least, right? So, I'm fine with the budget you guys have presented. I know that I'm not happy with how the legislature is written, but that's a different issue. It's not your issue, right? And I understand that. So, one thing I would ask, can we get a background presentation from the marketing committee on the companies that we spend this money with?
Sure.
Just
glad to,
I don't need it right now, but I just think it'd be good for us to know who.
That'd be, I'll call Sean at
yes.
the CPB, mm-hmm. let them line up a meeting with maybe at our next marketing meeting. We're meeting now, what used to be quarterly, now we're meeting monthly.
That's fine.
Local committee.
If you invite me in, I'm in town, I'd just come so you don't waste all of council's time. But I am interested, and I think it could be a written report to council, just here's the companies that we're spending money with.
Oh, you're only giving them $500,000.
That's why I want to know who it is,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've always been sort of interested in this, but now I'm more interested. So
I think
council should know where, and you know, publicly traded or private, and where they're at.
Yeah.
Just the companies we're spending the money with, right?
I'm sure they'll be glad to give it either in a group meeting or a private session with.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of our problem with the marketing committee is that we're expecting, as I met with Commissioner Ellen earlier, I said, you know, you all are expected to account for every single penny that you
right.
that you spend, and that's only right for you to ask for that for
right.
this. And so certainly we can request that, and we might not line up with whoever that appropriate
mm-hmm.
person would be.
I mean, I think it can be just a PowerPoint by company to council in writing, and if we have questions, we'll ask. I may be the only one that's interested.
Well, we have a complete that just went through this with us.
Perfect.
It's about 2 hours, and I can forward that to you.
That'd be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It says where the companies, that's just what I'm interested in.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, from the perspective of the process, Kim and her team, that's a healthy forecast, but we have had healthy returns over the last year. And I would say that she is generally conservative so that she has a holdback. She has a holdback that's required by law, and then she has a holdback she usually controls, which is why we get an opportunity at the later on in the year to say, hey, let's spend this money in this area. So, but that's a good idea because it has changed. Some of the companies have changed that we've been working with.
And that's part of the reason for the increase in certain areas.
Yeah.
Because they have changed companies. And so I think this company, from what they shared with us, is going to be more responsive. Probably give us better material, frankly.
Yeah. There's a change in strategy, going from less paper
yes.
to more online because they can track that easier.
And
so.
They actually are targeting these dollars more toward a higher income level
mm-hmm.
people,
yeah,
and for which typically reflects into longer stays. So I think this group better understands us,
mm-hmm.
and we're hoping through our marketing committee that we can get them to understand us even better, maybe.
Okay.
So that's kind of one of our goals.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just the general, I'm a little bit new to this. Is this budget, this not just Curie Beach, this is all of...
No. So that is money that is paid by room occupancy taxes that by the legislature has to be spent on marketing.
Yeah.
Or
our portion.
Marketing. This is just our portion of Curie
Beach.
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And so a matching set is used by us for lifeguards and other expenditures for tourism, but half of it goes to marketing, half of it goes to the town. We use it to support paying for the visitors.
Right. It's significant dollars.
Yep. Yeah. No, no other questions?
No.
Okay, then I'll accept the motion.
Just one other.
Yes.
So the marketing strategy to extend seasonality, have we ever asked, is that what the citizens really want?
No.
I'm just interested, right? So I was reading through the marketing strategies, and extend seasonality, it used to be where the residents got a break. And the more we extend seasonality, the smaller that break gets.
Yeah,
for police, fire, public works, just our citizens in general. I don't know the right answer. I certainly know all of the short-term rental people definitely would disagree with my position. But I think we should ask the citizens sometime if we agree with that strategy or not.
Fair point.
I mean, we've never questioned it in my time on council, and I think that it'd be interesting to ask the question to the citizens and see what they say. Personally.
Because
it's not a bad question. This year.
I'm sure.
I can just say it was a very short winter.
It'd be a mixed bag with the 450 that are registered to collect the TDA as well as
That's right.
2,200 full-time residents. It'd be an interesting mixed bag, though.
It's a great question, and I think all of us would love to know that.
Yeah.
I think where they're coming from, Commissioner, is not so much. I think what they're saying, generally speaking, everywhere, is that the seasonality is not we don't have shoulder season. It's essentially a 10-12 month.
Well, that's because we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars not to have that. Right? So we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to not have shoulder season. So my question is, should we still continue to do that? Right? I don't know the answer. I mean, I know sitting in my little corner, I sometimes ponder it when I can't get out E Avenue on January on a Tuesday. You know, so I don't know. It's just a question for council to consider. Now I'm done, sir. I'll shut up.
Okay, no problem. Good question.
Wear out.
So what's the feelings of council? Can I have a motion?
Make a motion we approve the draft budget as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thanks, Steve.
Good job. Thank you, sir.
I'll send that to John Allen.
That's perfect.
He has all your emails.
He does, yes, sir. That's perfect.
Thank
you very much.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Parking committee. Parking committee is parkings happening. We have a lot of the locals that have signed up again, registered your plates. Thank you very much. And we have close to 300 people who are paying for the seasonal pass. Between the two, we got about 1,000 passes out there, so that's quite a few. So we're making progress. We're ahead of last year, and that's the way we'd like to keep it, as long as it works for our guests and our citizens.
What's our long-term effect on our gross number or even our net number if we sell more passes? I mean, is that going to reduce? Do we feel like that's going to reduce our income?
There's an interesting debate. Just because you buy a pass doesn't guarantee you a space.
Great.
Point number one. Point number two is, just because you buy a pass doesn't mean you're here every day. But it may mean you come on weekends when the place is packed with people who don't have passes. I would say we have outside passes that would cover almost half of our available spaces. At that point in time, I will probably come to council and say, I think we should pay attention and maybe some degree.
But the people with passes more likely are coming during the week when
more than likely
more than
could
likely.
Be.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
When you don't have to deal with the rush.
Yeah.
Right?
Since the parking company has to check that, do they record how much time is taken up by season passes? Can they report that in their data?
I don't think they keep score on how often a particular plate is used.
Huh?
Yeah,
we should ask, right? I mean, then we would know if it was a problem or not.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm just not sure that they keep track of that.
Well, because I think the season pass holders, I think, are like us. They don't go park down there on the weekend.
Actually, if Arlen and I will talk about that, I don't see why when they record, they're recording their plate.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
That shouldn't be able to do a quick computer rush through that and say, this plate, these plates are here this often.
Yeah.
Primarily what we get now is when we see the actual sale. So it's where somebody's buying a season permit or somebody's paying for just a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking to ask him if the data is available because I know the way they're checking it is a picture. I don't think he has to type in the plate number. He takes a picture of it, right?
That gets generated, right? Well, by a
well, could you say
OCR,
or not?
Right, yeah. And into
that's
an actual number.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have a list of all every plate they look at,
yeah.
Right, or every plate they check. So you would know if a plate is checked. Then again, they may learn plates too and say, "Oh, that guy's here all the time. He's free."
Yeah.
So not worry about him.
It'd be interesting to see that.
Well, that's interesting point, and because we certainly want to be inclusive to some degree, to a large degree.
Well, I personally like what we're doing for the citizens of New Hanover County, and I think it will help us sooner or later with the county commissioners.
Probably. Well.
Versus the other two beach towns that are basically blocking out.
Yeah. Well.
Everyone but them, their residents.
Yeah. We'll see how that flows, I guess.
I'm expecting one day to tell the county commissioners, hey, we let your other citizens park down here if they wanted and no one else did, so help us out.
Yeah. Planning and Zoning Commission. Again, Craig Albrecht told me there was nothing to report.
We do have some text amendments that we'll be reviewing. I don't remember exactly what the scope of them are.
You're reviewing them tonight?
No, at PCC on June
1, okay.
So they'll come
right.
to you.
Come to us next.
If they have June 1 at PCC, you got time to advertise for the council meeting in June?
We don't have to advertise, Jim.
It's a development regulation.
Are we going to do a public hearing? Then they would schedule it in June.
Yeah, okay.
They'd schedule it in June.
Yeah, council needs to have a legislative hearing on that text amendment application.
Yeah. Hmm. They review it first and then schedule.
Okay. He did mention that in the note he sent that would be forthcoming. Shoreline access and beach protection. Liaison, have anything to report?
No, nothing to report this month.
Okay. Stormwater committee.
Nothing to report this month, sir.
Okay. Moving on to department head business, first administration.
Okay.
Mandy?
Large amounts. Jim's going to breeze through those with you.
Okay.
I'll go over my contract.
We need the committee policy up first. I'm not going to mirror my school.
They're really minor.
Is this all?
Yeah.
The first one we're going to look at is the committee policy. We have administration has an overall goal of reviewing all the policies and codifying them in an up-to-date version. But the committee policy has come up historically from time to time. I was asked to review it, and when I reviewed it, I found it to be confusing and inconsistent. For example, it's called a committee policy. But the provisions in the current version deal not only with committees, but commissions and boards. So we decided to clean it up by taking those distinctions out, also removing the distinction between an ad hoc and a standing committee, and just make it applicable to committees in general. Some of the highlights, an individual can serve on three committees, but can only chair one committee. I think that's the current text. Current provision, filling vacancies, most of that work falls to the committee. What the committee will do in this revised version is bring one recommendation to council. Council can adopt that recommendation, excuse me, or it has the discretion to fill the vacancy as it sees fit. We also have dealt more expressly with unexcused absences. What's happening is on committees, I would assume, I don't go to many committee meetings, but committees, boards, and commissions, when someone's not there, it's almost a knee-jerk reaction to have a vote to excuse them. And that's fine, if that is as it should be. But we've built into the committee policy that the failure to advise the chair of someone that's going to be absent, that's going to constitute an unexcused absence, so that provision has some teeth to it. After three unexcused absences, it will be treated as a voluntary resignation from the committee. We also are beefed up the provision that you need to comply with the open meetings law. I think minutes can be a problem for committees, mm-hmm. but that makes you subject to a private action under the open meetings law. Maybe there's no, such an action can be taken to void an action taken by the local government. I don't think that's particularly relevant on a committee level, but most importantly, a private action carries with it an award of attorney's fees if successful. So the bottom line, particularly if you get into litigation, you're going to be asked for the minutes. So let's do the minutes, and we try to put it in black and white in the policy in a stronger manner. We've also dealt with committee budgets simply by making them part of the annual budget cycle. And we also have a clear express provision to comply with the ethics policy that you all adopted in February of this year. Those are the highlights. Everything else is essentially the same as it was. So we made it clearer. We've taken out any references to boards and commissions. We've tried to beef up unexcused absences and minutes and ethics. But the filling the vacancy still falls on the committee level, bringing you one recommendation. Any questions? Yes, sir.
So, go ahead. You go first, Alan.
Well, I got a couple notes. So the responsibility is back to the committee to come up with a mission statement for that committee, or is that our?
In establishing a committee, you will also create the mission statement.
Okay, because when Bike Fed was, we formed our own and brought it back to council for approval. So we're going to change the way we're going to get more consistent doing that throughout all of the committee.
It's been my experience that the governing board usually sets forth the mission statement.
That's perfectly fine with me. I just know that this is a change in the way we did it with this last committee.
Well, it can be iterative, though. Even though it's our responsibility, we can get inputs from the committee.
Well, true, but I mean, we define the recreation committee. That is the mission recreation. It can specify what type, I would assume. Bike ped, same thing.
Yeah,
can get more definitive on that, but here's the goal. Here's what we're.
I'm just trying to get a clear picture because I don't think anyone's wrong. Wrong.
And I think in practice, governing board's mission statement is going to be broad and general, mm-hmm. and the council, the committee is going to take it from there and run with it.
So okay.
Whatever you all want to do, but that's usually my.
Okay. My next thing, I know. I can't remember if it was Board of Adjustments or we discussed whether somebody was full-time or not. So what are we going to have to determine if a person is considered a full-time resident? Does that mean their cars are registered in town? Do they have to provide us some type of proof of...
It says resident,
they say
full-time.
Full-time resident.
No, I think it just says resident now, right?
It says full-time resident.
It says full-time resident.
And I carried that over from the original. We can, 2 points, we can take that out of the final. I didn't think about full-time when I carried it over. I will tell you that definitions of residence and domicile, if you look it up in a legal dictionary, it it varies and it depends on various elements, like you named a couple of them, driver's license, property and ownership. So it's whatever council will on full-time versus resident, what y'all want to do.
I just, don't y'all remember we had some discussion on whether somebody was a...
Right, and our policy stated, well, it's...
Yeah, he left that in there.
Or either a full-time resident or property owner. That's what our policy
said. Now, I took out property owner.
So right. You're taking it out now. But prior to that, it was either.
Mm-hmm. Now, if council wants, we can add a definition for the purposes of this provision, full-time resident shall consist of. But what does council want to do about the residency requirement? Do they want it full resident period, full-time or part-time, both?
I think we've kind of gotten away from...
That's a good question, Counselor, and I'm thinking that...
We could also leave it as it is and simply review that issue if it comes up.
Because you have some business owners who have significant contribution to the town that may not be residents, which is why we had owners in the first one. I guess my opinion would be we leave it as suggested, and we'll deal with that as it comes up. I'm not sure what the true definition would be unless you wish to define
it. We're going
to
define it, or we're just going to say full-time resident or property owner, and then it'll be up to us to decide whether that person is going to be here enough to serve on that committee. I mean, we sure wouldn't put anybody on a like P&Z if they were not a full-time resident here, you know, here to be engaged in the community and everything.
Well, that's, I think you just came up with a good solution. The original was full-time and property owner. If we went with full-time or property owner, then I think that...
I can live with that.
Yeah, that was MB, and it was or property owner.
So we're going to insert any full-time resident or property owner.
Can I have one more, David, for you?
As many as you want. No, I'm waiting.
Did we have any consideration about committees? Well, it's a committee approved budget is approved by council for a certain amount of money, approved for certain things.
Yeah, I was looking through the policy, and our policy actually stated that it was at the discretion of the finance officer, not that it had to come back to council. To request to spend the funds, that it just had to be approved by the finance officer.
So is that the new translation?
That was the old one.
Because I thought I saw in the new one, it has to come back to council.
Well, what I thought would be cleaner based on, in comparison to the original, on page 14, paragraph 5, the committee shall prepare and submit to council annual budgets for their projected initiatives. The submission of committee budgets shall follow the procedures established for the town's annual budget cycle, commencing with council's budget retreat. Then if you go down to section F, this tells you what the budgets have to have. Expected revenues, expected expenditures. Number two, no committee can expend any funds except upon council's approval. Now, originally that would come with the budget approval if the committee's budget is part of that cycle.
Right, but the original policy said no committee may expend funds except upon approval of the finance officer.
Well, one point of that change, when all the committees were combined into one line item and we call it committee expenses, the thought was there was one budget for that. In a way, the committees had to compete for that money and come to council with the different proposals and how they wanted to use those funds, and then council would make that decision on, you know, which ones to allow and not allow.
Is that the way it is now, or is it broken out for a committee?
Right now, it really only consists of two committees. So each one a solicit their budget requests, I guess. And right now, the last couple of years, it's pretty much what they requested was included in the budget. You know, there would be the process that if the council could decide during the budget meetings whether to the request in the bucket of final budget or not.
And there's also been occasions, I'm thinking of the land use plan. I'm thinking of the Historical Preservation Commission. It's part of that process of designating the preservation district. HPC came to council for one time allotment in order to have some expert assistance. I can't remember exactly who it was. So it seems, the way I've written this, 90% of it would be covered during the budget cycle. Unusual situations would have the committee coming into council and asking them, maybe a budget amendment that follows that. So that's the way it's currently set up.
Right, but the question is, I think that Commissioner Oliver is trying to say is that yes, it is put into the budget and it is technically approved as part of the budget. When they approve the budget every year, those funds are there for the use. But what is happening is our committees are having to come back to council after approval of the budget. I'm saying 6 months into the new year, we're coming in and saying, hey, we need council's approval because we are going to spend X amount of dollars on this project when it was already approved in the budget.
Yeah, and I took it out because that seemed redundant. Does staff want that in there or leave it out?
When we put the budget together, we put the budget together with building blocks. For example, Mo has a significantly large budget as a committee because of things that are going on. She's given us building blocks to come up with that amount of money. Depending on how much she has to spend, there are rules and regulations that could have to be followed relative to how we decide where that gets spent and who uses it. Also, to the point that there may be, you know, we anticipated it was 20, it's going to be 25, but it's within the budget. So I don't have a problem with, if we can, you don't have to do it in open meeting, but I think there should be, on a purchases beyond a certain level, there should be council engagement.
That's my point. Exactly. We were going to buy $150 kit for that traffic guard.
Yeah, that's nonsensical.
Yeah, we should be able to use. We had money set aside for educational purposes.
But it's already been spent. That becomes part of the problem is that money's allocated for certain things and then it's used, and then you come back later, you know, looking for funding for certain things. But that money, in essence, has already been spent.
Right.
You have to do a budget amendment to get more money before
you
spend it.
The bike ped committee was a little bit different. They had money in capital projects, but the question was, were they going to, those capital projects going to occur or not? I mean, so that's where it just gets a little bit gray. And I'm not saying the council should have to approve every one. The reason it was set up that way was, you know, what I originally said, which was there was one pool of money for all the committees.
I mean,
well, the approval is you. Reaching out to us if it has to happen between council meetings and then it's on the consent agenda. It's not like it stops anything from happening.
Right.
I mean, so I'm fine. Personally, I'm fine with council approving it. It doesn't take Mandy and staff 20 minutes to get us to approve it and then we put it on the consent agenda and move on, even for small amounts if they're outside their budget.
Are you talking about requiring approval for matters that are not in the committee budget that was approved by council?
Correct.
Under the budget ordinance?
Correct. Well, it's in the budget ordinance. The way you have that written says it's per the town procedures, and Arlen can approve it.
We have a purchasing policy that comes into play, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Committee members just can't be out. Well, they shouldn't be. I can't say this doesn't happen, but mm-hmm. they shouldn't be out just buying things. If there's actually a policy that there's...
That's where the liaison comes in to make sure that they're following the right thing.
That's the approach mm-hmm. that I took mentally, that each year the committee would come up with a budget, but if a request occurs that's outside the scope of that approved budget, they would automatically
have to come back to council.
Well, Okay, yeah, I guess so. Because I'm thinking that a lot of that stuff is estimates, and, you know, you really don't also want it to go to, you know, their uncle's company. You know what I mean? Based on an estimate, so.
What I'm trying to accomplish is what I thought was a redundant step, but staff and council can correct me otherwise. And that, so there's two things. They bring a budget to you, you pass the budget ordinance, and that budget, committee budget's in there. If they go through that budget or something else comes up that's outside the scope of that budget, they're going to come to you. What I tried to eliminate was on the budget approval end, if the committee, if council adopts a budget that includes a committee budget therein, I didn't see the need for something under that approved budget to come back in and get approval from council. Council already approved that budget.
Okay.
I'm talking about things outside of the approved budget.
Okay.
But I think before that money is spent, someone has to review it because of the fact of the purchasing rules that are in place. There could be need. There may be, we may need POs. We may need more money on a credit card. I think it has to be reviewed at least by Arnold, even if it is in that budget.
If you need more than one estimate,
well,
or whatever.
Well, then need to. No committee may expend any funds except upon council's approval. That happens during budget work.
Yeah.
And compliance with town procedures and any applicable procurement.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't have any trouble with the way that's written right there.
That work for you, man? You need to?
Arlen, does that work for you? You're the finance officer.
I mean, that's fine. I guess what's happened in the past is, you know, committees have gone out in certain cases just done so without us actually knowing about it. So
we don't have to pay them back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
so that's one thing we want to prevent, because you, when you actually approve the budget, you're approving certain things that they've identified. So now we're just saying that they can go ahead and pretty much do whatever they want, as long as they, well, mm-hmm. if they don't have to come back, and as long as they're staying within their dollar amount,
they're
that's what it's
if they're not doing what that money was allocated for, it has to come back to council.
Right.
So it's going to go down to that fine thing that it's whatever, you know, $2,000 for signs and, you know, X dollars for, the traffic art.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because now we're back into...
We're reachable. It's fine. I mean,
right.
Mm-hmm. I get asked for dumber stuff than that. Approving money's fine. Honestly.
But you all got procedures. Mm-hmm. You got procurement requirements. It seems to me you can keep the committee policy general by saying, hey, look, bring your budget in and we'll approve it, adjust it, whatever. But in addition, anything you do, whether it's under that approved budget or whether it's something new outside of what was approved, you got to follow procedures and requirements.
Yes.
To me, that's the general provision that works. But it's staff and finance that have to deal with that on a day-to-day basis. If you wanted more precise, I can do that. I just took a general approach in drafting.
Arlen, what works for you? Because the way the policy read, it was that you should be the one approving it, not council.
And that's fine, I guess. There's also specific wording in our purchasing policy.
I just felt like we weren't following our policy because it said, I mean, everyone was coming to council, even though the budget was already approved, they were coming to council for their expenditures. But, I mean, so therefore, it wasn't following the policy of going to the finance officer.
Right, but that was the policy that council put in. Again, when we did that, combined everything into one department, basically, mm-hmm. that we call committee expenses, rather than having, here's a separate line item for bike pet, here's a separate line item for shoreline access. So that was when that process changed. I mean, I can live with either. That's fine.
Yeah, but you still list out what the original budget request was.
I include that in the detail. Yeah.
Right, in the detail. So I think, you know, as I recall, you know, when we exceeded our original request, we go back for budget amendment. So I think, it makes sense if it's within our original request, the committee's original request. Okay, and it's not an extraordinary expense, like comes out of the blue saying, you know, bike committee wants to purchase 12 bicycles so they can ride around town and see what it's like to ride around town. That is outside of the norm.
We can't do that? We can't do that?
I mean, and, you know, I would think it's easy for staff to recognize this wasn't in the original budget request. It's got to go back to council.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We beat this up pretty good.
Well, they are, except, I mean, I want to go back to reality just a moment. Our council, our budget requests come out pretty quickly. And some committees are better at gathering information in detail, and some committees are more like this, right? Some committees have quotes, some committees do not. So if a committee has substantial amount of money based on that, I think the oversight, the people in the town would expect us to provide oversight to make sure that we are being financially responsible.
The committee also has, each committee also has a council liaison, correct?
You're exactly, and I was going to actually get to the point that when a committee needs a quick expenditure, they should go to liaison. Liaison should get it done in 24 hours or maybe a little longer, or go to another guy if his liaison's out of town. So that's my opinion. I just don't like to turn over the keys to the kingdom.
Well, again, I want to make sure we're all on the same page. I took three approaches. Number one, I looked at the original, and the original said council's got to approve a budget, but anytime you're going to spend anything out of that approved budget, you got to go through our own. That seemed to me, in my ivory tower, to be redundant. So the approach I took, which I'm not a proud author, if you want to change it, I'm here to make sure you guys are happy. The approach I took was, all right, council approves an annual budget for the committee, and any expenditure has to follow procedures and requirements. So if it's something outside of the approved budget or something new that comes along or there's a procurement aspect to it, it's going to go through those requirements, which includes legal as well as finance and staff. That's the approach I took. If you want to refine it, that's absolutely okay with me. I just want to make sure you understand what it says.
Okay. I'd like to approve stuff. I don't know where you...
I'm fine with it. I mean... like you said, we beat the dead horse, right? So
yeah,
I don't think we've had any problems with people running rampant with the town's money, and that's really important thing for me. How we do it, I'm okay with, right? And the attorney's trying to guide us to have a policy that's coherent and clear for multiple reasons. One is to accomplish that goal, and then others is to make sure we don't do stupid stuff that gets us in trouble in other ways. So.
But the attorney also wants to make sure administration and finance are covered.
Well, that's exactly right. I don't want to burden administration and finance either. I don't know the right answer. I'm open to, as long as we're controlling the money, someone does. I trust Arlen to control it with Mandy, or council can control it. I'm open either way.
My question would be, if I'm supposed to be looking at this, which I'm fine with that, if somebody sends something that they didn't originally ask for in regard to, instead of getting I'll use Slack as what I can think of right now, instead of getting signs, they get magnets. So did they do something different than what they asked for?
Well, if you get that question, then you should ask council.
And you said you got to take.
We trust that you're going to look out for that.
Yeah.
You're way more detailed about that issue than we would be.
You know, I just want to make sure I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's expected.
Yeah.
Okay, what do we want to give the attorney guidance on here?
Leave as is, or tell me what you want me to write.
I'm okay with the way it's said, but
I said
you guys.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's fine. I was not trying to make anything confusing. It's just that I have sat through meeting after meeting after meeting where the committee members have asked for approval to spend this money that they've already had approved in the budget, and our policy clearly said that Arlen was supposed to, they went through Arlen. So all I want to do is clarify the policy, because I have new committee chairs who are reading this policy as the gospel, and they're questioning me, and I'm like, well, that's not how we do it. So I need my policy to be how we do it.
Yep.
Not, you know, so that's the only reason we're, if you're happy with the process, we're happy to keep it that way.
Okay.
But it needs to change in black and white.
Can we have a motion in or accept it as written?
Well, I have one other question. Sorry to come back into it. Has nothing to do with this, by the way. So, an H, we did away with damage assessment and emergency operations, which I'm fine with. They're not really committees. That's just where we put them when we said we needed to say what we were doing.
That was my
so idea. That's the only place they show up in policy, which I'm fine with. But there's nowhere else that it references them when you take it out. And they're technically volunteers, so they show up in the emergency response plan. So that's the only place they show up other than here.
I'm going to let Andy handle that one. I mean, are they a committee?
I don't think they are. So the only reason they showed up in here was to say how we advertised for them and selected them.
Again, let me tell you my knee-jerk when I first read this thing. Committee policy. This committee policy shall apply to committees, commissions, boards, and whatever that the two entities you're talking about. Ad hoc and standing. By the time I got through the first paragraph, I was confused and it was inconsistent. So I just went with committees because that's what it's called.
I understand. Well, no one up here was on council in 2010 when this was adopted, including me. First point. Second point, the only reason they put that in there was because they wanted somewhere to say that I couldn't just cherry pick who was going to be the volunteers as the emergency manager. And so I'm fine with that. I don't really want to cherry pick them anyway, but the building inspector has a need during hurricanes to do a prescribed function which he can't do by himself, and so he solicits volunteers. And I have a need during hurricanes to, if we do this, fill the emergency operations center. And so that's why that got in there, right? Because even though I wasn't on council, I point out to whoever was writing this policy at the time that both of us have to have these people, and they said, well, you got to do it our way. Fine. So that's how I get in here, right? I'm fine with it going away.
Is there an emergency plan or a hurricane plan where
there is?
There is, but
and it just references what they do, not how they're selected.
Would it be appropriate to talk about selection in those documents?
I'm fine with that, and that's why I wanted council to discuss it, right? So I'm fine with that. So the building inspector has a need to have damage assessment teams because he has to meet a specific statutory requirement to report after a hurricane. And if New Andover County Operations Center says Curie Beach has to have representatives up there, I'm not going to send firemen up there when I can have volunteers go up there. Right now they haven't done that, but in the early 2010s they wanted everyone there.
Okay,
now they don't. We're not doing that, but if all they got to do is change their requirement, and we will, it just takes Stephen Stills saying he wants a Curie Beach representative there, we're going to have one, right? But as long as he doesn't require that, I'm not wasting the resources.
Okay.
But can't we give that to you as emergency manager and abroad?
We can. I just was highlighting to council that when you take this out, it's nowhere else. And that means that John and I can pick people however we want. I'm fine with that.
I just, personally, since I've been here, have never been aware. Because, I mean, since I've been working with you and even with Nancy, we've never sent anyone to...
We did for in the early 2000s.
Right.
And then we stopped,
and then,
right?
Like before.
So once Warren Lee left, Stephen Stiles changed how they do it, and we were like, we're not sending people up there because it's a waste of our resources.
And I wasn't aware that anyone was helping John do damage assessment because I was under the impression that John was doing damage assessment because I filed all the claims and things that we need to do for the town.
The initial
and
ones.
I've never worked with anyone else.
Well, they all report to him, I think.
And I think our other issue is I keep the membership list up to date, and it's not up to date. Because some of the members can't even be on that committee anymore because they're on other committees. So
well, that's the other thing in here. They were allowed to be on any other committee because it's only for emergency management. So they could be on all the committees they wanted because that wasn't really technically a committee.
But that can change from school.
That's what, if you look at the bottom of H, that's what it says specifically. The very last sentence says, volunteers serving on these are exempted from restrictions in the committee policy and will be allowed to serve on other ad hoc committee and or boards or commissions as allowed by town council. Because I wanted my volunteers to be able to do all the other stuff they do if they're going to stay here. So I'm fine with it coming out. Council has to, agree before we vote on it, understand what that change allows is John to fill the damage assessment teams and me to fill the emergency operations center teams if required by the county without any guidance, which is fine. I'm fine with that. John's probably comfortable with that too.
I mean, if you guys want
right.
That's what you're doing anyway.
I just wonder, is it actually a committee or is it more?
No.
I don't think it is. That's why I wasn't on council, so I didn't get a vote, but I told them this isn't exactly the right place. I agree with the attorney, but we just have to be able to recruit volunteers for the roles we need to do, and you're saying council's not going to have oversight of that. I'm fine with that. I'm comfortable with the building inspector to get the builders that he knows are staying to go do what he needs to do, because it doesn't require entry into a property, and it has to be done in a rapid fashion.
Right, and if we are going to keep it as a committee and you guys do want it here, then we need to do our job and get people joined.
No, I don't want it. No. I'm fine with it coming out.
I just wonder if it belongs more in our code versus the committee policy.
Well, I think maybe it goes in the emergency operations
plan. Emergency operations plan.
So I'll make sure and make that change. Now I'm ready, sir.
Okay.
Unless someone else has.
Any others?
No.
Are you going to entertain a motion to adopt the proposed text amendments? Please include the revision of for property owner.
Right. Property owner.
With the amendment we talked about.
Okay.
But that would be a separate motion from the committee policy.
I'm ready to make it. I make a motion to adopt as presented with the change of B to B. To include or property owner.
So, okay, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, the next item.
Aye.
The next item is up on the screen. It can be quickly dealt with. Two points about it, out the red ink. Number one, this was already approved and included in the committee policy once upon a time. So if the committee policy was cleaned up to only refer to committees, we decided to pull this out because it dealt with commissions, HPC and PCC. Commissions are also more a statutory creature, and they have statutory requirements unlike the committee level. So administration and I thought it best just to go ahead and pull it out of the committee policy and plug it into the code along with the other elements pertaining to those bodies in the code. The thrust of it, the substance of it is because the statute allows for an HPC to include or consist of PZC members, and because of the utility of including them on the Land Use Planning Committee. What we did here for PZC, and we'll get it on the screen if you want, but it's exactly the same for HPC. We simply say PZC can serve on HPC, HPC can serve on PZC, and both can serve on the Land Use Planning Committee, but none of them can serve on any other committee, board, or commission. So if you're good with that, you can entertain a motion to adopt those text amendments.
I'll make a motion that we approve 12.04.010 proposed text amendment and 12.04.030 proposed text amendment, and commend the attorney on using contemporaneously in our code.
I thought about that when I used that word. I wondered if anybody was going to say anything about that.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I keep forgetting about this commission, Councilman Allen. Remote participation is up on the screen. I don't know if you want to access it on your iPad. We talked, I guess it was last month, about All right, a couple of things. Number one, under the state emergency and not affected at all by local states of emergency, you have a statute that was passed with respect to COVID that broadens remote participation. It allows you, for example, to count somebody on the phone towards filling the necessary quorum. It also accounts for, under the current law, voting, and I think I'd have to double check, I think it includes quasi-judicial matters. That's under the state level of emergency. It also allows for closed sessions by telephone. It also allows for an attorney-client closed session for me to do that by telephone. That's all COVID-related. That's all triggered only by the state level of emergency. So as long as the state level emergency is in effect, you have those additional provisions, point one. Point two, before COVID came along, the School of Government looked at remote participation pretty carefully and published a bulletin on it. The highlights of that bulletin are that for appointed boards, which would be our commissions and the Board of Adjustment, and for committees, that remote participation did not pose any problems at all, and they pointed to certain language and certain statutes for that. They did feel that with respect to a governing board, there were two issues that needed to be addressed. One was quorum, because the statute talks about a physical presence, and one is voting, particularly on quasi-judicial matters. I don't necessarily agree with the analysis by the school on, I do agree if it's on quasi-judicial voting, but I don't necessarily agree with respect to governing board elections. I'll come back to that in a minute. Based on, you can resolve the quorum problem by having a policy that does not include the remote participant as part of that quorum. In other words, you need a physical quorum. And this pertains mostly to the governing board. In terms of voting, I don't have a problem with again, the current COVID law allows that. I don't have a problem allowing that once the COVID law lapses. The School of Government's concern was if the remote participant was casting a deciding vote on a red button controversial issue. It's been my experience, particularly with this town, that red button issues don't come up very often. Thank the Lord, and that the tendency is to make sure everybody's present if they do come up. So I'm not too concerned, and analytically, I don't necessarily agree with the School of Government. So with all those things in mind, I've written a policy that allows for remote participation by all public bodies, council down to the committee level, point one. Point two, there's some requirements set forth in this rather short policy, it's two pages, two or three pages. There's some requirements that need to be followed, and staff and committee chairs and committee members and you all as well, but mostly for what the previous ones I just mentioned, need to become very familiar with that. One of the things that I did do was make the quorum requirement satisfied by a physical presence. I also limited remote participation to three times in a calendar year, but I gave the public body, whether it's committee, commission, board, or governing board, discretion to allow otherwise by a majority vote. Somebody may have very good reasons for missing it a fourth time in a calendar year, and you all can override that, and the committee can override that by majority vote. Satisfy the closed session problem. Problem with closed sessions is they're executive, particularly if the attorney-client. You don't want anybody else in the room, and to allow that in a remote participation setting. You don't know if anybody else is in the room. So I've taken that out. It's okay for now under the COVID law, but I've taken it out when the COVID law lapses. And those are my main points. Quorum is based on physical presence. Voting is okay except for quasi-judicial. So there will be no closed sessions. Become familiar with the requirements. For example, one of the requirements is the chair of the public body announcing at the beginning of the meeting who's participating remotely and by what remote means. Also, the minutes need to reflect that. To take from the voting statute, the voting statute says if somebody's present and doesn't vote, that action constitutes a yes vote unless excused. I've carried that over to the remote participant as well. But I plugged in a qualifier that if you lose the connection through a technical issue, then that member is not physically present for the voting purpose. And then the final tricky thing was the effective date of this policy. Let me digress for a minute and tell you, this is the second time we've established a policy by resolution. I'm comfortable with that approach. But staff and I talked about it tonight. What we're going to start, and we've got more policies to look at over time. What we're going to include in these resolutions, which establish a policy, is an instruction for staff to codify all the policies as they currently are in one manual. But I want them set up formally through a resolution process. The tricky thing here is the resolution's effective date. What I did was provide for an immediate effective date upon adoption. However, mentioning that the COVID law, I forget the 166A-19.24, I believe, remains operative until the state level emergency is lifted, and that in case of a conflict between that COVID law and this policy, the COVID law would control. For example, if we have a quorum issue and that COVID law is still in effect and the participant satisfies the quorum, that law says that's okay to do it that way. That provision about the effective date allows that to continue. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions about the remote policy, I'll be glad to ask them, answer them. Otherwise, you can entertain a motion to adopt whatever this resolution number is.
Mr. Mayor, I'll make a motion that we adopt.
Give one second.
Okay, no, I'm sorry.
I have one question. Under this, it's solely within the responsibility of the chairperson to make a decision whether to allow that participant to...
No, this...
To
the board votes.
Well, in a sense, the person that knows they're not going to be here has, under one of the requirements set forth in this resolution, the obligation to inform the chair 24 hours ahead of time to state the facts and circumstances. And yes, the chair would approve or disapprove that. If it's disapproved, it's going to lead to an unexcused, I would imagine, an unexcused absence if that needs to be done. So it's not a right, it's based on approval.
Correct. So if, for whatever reason, the chair...
24 hours would be a lot smaller number.
I think council member had a follow-up question.
Well, I was just concerned that it's... solely up to the chairperson then whether to allow this or not.
Well,
you get three times as long as they vote in majority.
My knee-jerk to that is twofold. Number one, we're not here to encourage remote participation. We're here to encourage physical participation.
we're considering this policy really in a way to promote public transparency, but also to allow for what life throws at us from time to time. If we move to approval beyond the chair, we're creating additional work for additional staff. I don't know that that's necessary.
All right.
So, John, you want to say again what you said? You thought it should be less time than 24?
Yeah, I think you could have, I see with this hang paper business, and I know I've testified Alan, he doesn't want to sit there coughing and sneezing and wheezing for 2 or 3 hours. So I called the mayor early afternoon. Right. Well, if you implement the policy of 24 hours, then I would have an unexcused absence because I didn't make the 24 hours.
Right.
24 was arbitrary on my part.
Yeah.
Whatever you all want.
So you want to make a motion for a different amount of time, John?
Or you?
I would say just approved by the chairperson. You know, whatever you call it, and your car broke in, how much you can get into the dealership and be on the phone. I don't know. There are emergencies that a person to be right up to the meeting time and still call in but not be able to get there.
So I think, Councilman, looking at page 3, 4-1,
sure.
It would, what I took from Councilman Allen's comments was, a member shall be permitted to participate remotely. Only in physical attendance at the meeting would be unreasonably difficult, and if the request for remote participation is submitted to and approved by the chairperson of the public body, and delete starting no later than 24 hours before the scheduled meeting. So we could say approved by the chairperson of the public body before the scheduled meeting.
I agree with that.
That's good.
I agree with that.
If you want to entertain a motion to adopt resolution R22-03 amended as I forget what language you came up with, which was perfect last night.
Yeah. Any other discussion?
No. No, you know what.
You ready for a motion?
Yeah. Yep.
Make ready a motion we approve, sorry, resolution R22-03 with the one change in section 4. Article 4, 4.1, to delete no later than 24 hours.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let me just ask that.
Aye.
You've got that as a Word doc, right?
I do.
You can make that change?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you, Counselor.
Good job, Jim.
One more for Randy.
I want to thank you.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
This is usually on the consent agenda, but due to our new policy of making sure the town attorney reviews everything, he had at this time not reviewed this document for our whole harmless agreement with Mesa Commons for the hurricane season. Nothing has changed. I've got one word I'm changing in here on the work doc. It's from organization to the town. That was his only suggestion. So I'm asking for approval so I can get this sent off for the new season.
And so this is to make an agreement with Maceboro Commons so if we close the bridge, we could set up tents to issue decals or get our residents through when they're coming back in. So yeah, I encourage council to
do that. It's an indemnification holdout.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So I encourage council. I make a motion that we approve this agreement and allow myself and the mayor to sign it, or the mayor to sign it, actually.
Second.
All right. Motion and second, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy.
Thank you, Mandy.
Aye.
Okay, next is Building Inspection Department.
Station is nearing completion.
install some outlets and lights. Came along nicely. I'm pretty happy with it. I'm sure you guys have all seen it. Secondly, I believe I brought this up before, but Cameron making some changes to its rulemaking. In 2017, they came up with a development line strategy in order to mitigate direction front setbacks. Well, that's going away now, and it looks like it's going to go away on July 1st. There is a grace period, none of the sort. Basically, if you have a permit, cool. If you don't, we're reverting back to the old way of measuring things, which is using a static line that is predetermined by CAMA from 1997. There is another new measurement system that we can apply for that I'm currently investigating, and I'll report back to you about that. But it's called a beach management plan. If you guys want to enjoy some really good reading.
Okay. So static line, development line is gone, and we go back to static line.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So about how many non-conforming properties do we have with the static line? Just
I
roughly?
I don't know how many are going to be non-conforming now.
Okay. I was just interested. Okay.
Yep. Hard to say. It was easy to figure it out through the development line. We
yeah.
Use our easement line. I don't have a map that imposes a static line on it that's up to date, so it's hard. I have to visit
okay.
each one.
No, that's fine. Okay, I was just interested.
That's all right.
Okay. Thanks, John. Finance Department.
You got to hear from me a little later.
Okay. Fire Department.
Council, I have a couple quick updates. We started putting lifeguard towers on the beach today, and we should hopefully be done around lunchtime tomorrow. It does look like the our furthest south tower, we might have some issues with that due to beach re-nourishment. Basically, whenever they can, we rode down there today, it was a pretty steep drop off, so we'll wait to see what the rest of the week brings. So we have a full staff. Lifeguards are in their second week of training. Things are going well. We do have Caroline Beach is full staffed as well. Fort Fisher is currently experiencing a few issues, but we're trying to help them out with recruitment. I think they're trying to pick up 2 to 3 more lifeguards. So at this point in time, I spoke with Jason, who's the director of their lifeguard program. And as of now, basically, they may have a few days here and there that they do not have lifeguards on whatsoever. We'll try to coordinate with them best we can to provide whatever assistance we can, but we've sort of maxed out with our recruiting as well. Basically, that would mean that we would need to add more lifeguards, but at this time, like I said, we're pretty full too. We try to get as much as we can, so we're in the same boat as them, so any lifeguard that we can pick up would we'd probably send down their way first. So, the lifeguard shack, we've got just the doors left and the electrical, as well as the funnel. So we've already gone down there and put up lockers. If they're ready to go for the lifeguard season. Just want to make sure that the doors are closable and we can lock it up before we bring equipment down there. And other than that, just the call line's ramping up. I think you've seen the past couple of weeks have been pretty busy for the fire department. That's all I have for
Chief, are you concerned that if they don't have coverage, what kind of impact that's going to have on your department to cover emergencies down there?
I do. Historically, I want to say it was around 2009, 2010 time frame. They did not have lifeguards. We experienced a significantly busy season. We were strong advocates for them to get lifeguards. That took a couple of years just due to the state kind of getting the funding and working through the program. I'm not quite sure what the issue is. Obviously, it's the furthest point south, so it's, you know, getting people to live down there is a little tough, so that could be part of it. It's, you know, there's always each beach has its own culture. They're run by the park rangers down there, so they're significantly smaller. We train them every year. So early on in their program, we, even though they had lifeguards, we noticed that they could use a little bit of additional training. So we extended a helping hand, and think the last 4 years, they have trained with our lifeguards. So we run them through the same two-week program with us. That's funded through the state, but they can come down here and train with us. As you see, a lot of our ocean rescue calls are run by the fire department after hours already down in Fort Fisher. We have had a few during the hours where they've been short-staffed. That's a weird area because it's part of our response area, but it's not within our municipality. And it's pretty far. It takes us, you know, sometimes during the summertime, it does take us about 10 minutes to get down there. So we're aware of it. We talk about it at the fire meetings. We have volunteers that can respond from their houses as well. At this point in time, I'm working with Jason to basically provide them with as many lifeguards as we can to sort of work through the issue.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Chief. Police Department, anything?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir, just real quick, just want to give an update on the digital speed limit signs for North and South Fort Fisher. We've finally got the encroachment agreement with DOT, and we'll be working with Public Works to be getting it mounted in the next couple of weeks. So just want to let you guys know.
Thank you. Good. Public Works, anything?
No updates unless you've
got questions. Recreation? Okay, we're going to take a 5 minute break.
You've got to get it.
Okay. We're going to excuse him at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
We're looking out.
Okay. Everybody ready?
Yes, sir.
Moving on to old business, Curry Beach Bike Ped Master Plan. Mr. Oliver.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, thank you, sir. This is when we originally, 2 months ago, Jason Reyes did the draft plan, presented his draft plan to the council, and it was to come back to us basically in the consent agenda, but I wasn't comfortable with doing that, and we got Mike Kozlowski here tonight. He's the executive director of the WMPO. We thank you for spending your evening with us down here on this end of New Hanover County, Mike. But what has transpired since the draft was presented to us is more talks with MATSU and with Pope Air Force Base. And this was after they reviewed the plan and they came back to Jason with a clear understanding of what they would allow and what they wouldn't allow, and that's reflective in the plan. Just want to be clear and upfront and transparent with everybody that we did have those additional comments and it was not in the original draft. It doesn't really change anything dramatically. It just gives us a clear picture of the process and what they will allow and what they won't allow. So that's all I have. I would like to if we can, if anybody has any questions, I'll try to answer them for you, but it's basically the same document that was presented 2 months ago.
So where were the changes? Because they're obviously not highlighted, or where I missed them.
The basic changes was we had a very in-depth conversation with the planning director for Seymour Johnson Air Force Base, which basically said, we don't allow stuff like this on our property. So we agreed, made note of that. And also that MATSU's requirements would be something along the lines of what Carolina Beach had done in the past, what they had allowed in the past, and that they had restraints that would not allow any development in MATSU buffer zone south of President Davis Drive.
Okay.
And like I said, this is nothing. You probably wouldn't even know it if you unless you compared the two.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to bring it up to everybody, be transparent about it. This conversation did happen.
Well,
I'm very pleased.
They're aware.
I'm very pleased with the plan. As any draft, any master plan is just a plan, and we will, any projects, or if we decide to move forward with any elements of the project, you'll definitely be brought back to council for that discussion and public comment and approval. So I would recommend adoption.
So just to the MPO, so with council adopting this, what does that mean in your planning processes? Because there is at least two parts on here that are pretty contentious in the town. If we adopt this, which I assume that's the next step, what does that mean?
Commissioner Heckler, if you adopt this plan, then what the town would then do is use this plan, and you could come to us. We receive about $4 million annually in direct distributable funds, and those we could look at implementing this plan through the use of those funds. You do get additional points through our scoring system if a project is included in a locally adopted plan, as well as the metropolitan transition plan. And so this provides a blueprint and a framework for the future bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure in your community. And so we would use this as a guide to enhance your infrastructure in this community.
So it's a plan.
I understand.
Right? Rather good one. Some elements more exciting than others.
Yes, absolutely. As all plans,
yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion that we accept the bicycle pedestrian plan draft, and it will be sent on to the WMPO board to be presented to them at their next meeting.
All right.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mo, for the work you did here. Okay, addition to Smart Moves Agreement.
Okay, we entered into a contract with Smart Moves Consulting to help us with the grant administration at the intersection of Fort Fisher and K Avenue. Since we have met with the NCDOT regional or their consultants, division consultants, excuse me, we had the need for more encroachment agreements, like the police department had to do with the speed limit signs, but they're rather involved and complicated with the interchange and with all these any crosswalk improvements that we talked about. Once I started doing more research into it, we don't have the staff or I don't have the time to put into doing these. So I asked Adrian at Smart Moves to give us an additional cost for doing that. She has done that, given us a cost of no more than not to exceed $2,000 to do these encroachment agreements for us. Part of the interchange improvement at K and Fort Fisher would have been an encroachment agreement anyway.
Mm-hmm. So she's actually going down and get these signed. Is that the point?
She will put mm-hmm. the packet together, which, Mike, how big was your packet for those two speed limit signs?
The packet wasn't very big. It just takes them a long time to do what they need to do, and there's a lot of hands in the pot to do different things. I can see where this one would be very involved, more so than ours, but ours is probably 10 pages or so, 10 to 20, something like that.
Okay.
Harlan, do we need to say where it comes from?
That was going to be my question. What department, I guess, and then we'll have to make sure that there's there's funds available.
We should have funds, because we're not going to expend all the funds from the in this budget year for the bicycle pedestrian committee.
Okay, so the amounts that they have is capital.
Yeah, it would be, yeah, so if we need to do a budget amendment, we need to do that.
So I make a motion we approve as presented and direct the finance officer to bring a budget amendment to pay for it.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Update on the interchange improvement. Oliver?
Yes, sir. One last thing, I'm sorry for the, if you see, Mandy, if I could, if we go Beth, could get, so here's our project for the interchange, the CRRSAA, and this is just how difficult, this is just how difficult this project is becoming. You see, we're at the bottom of the pyramid. We have requested a STIP number, that's done. Arlen have access to the EBS system, and the project is to be programmed into a SCIP, and that has to go before the WMPO technical review, and then it will go to the MPO board in June, and then we will be notified that the project is programmed, and we can request it through the EBS portal. As you see, we're getting close to being able to start preliminary engineering authorization, which they will provide us with detailed guidance on how we're to pick the professional engineering services. At that point, we will get finance and legal involved to make sure we're doing it all the right way in conjunction with the state. So, just an update.
That's pretty good. You're almost running out of letters.
That's awesome.
So, that's the update on that?
Yes, sir.
All right. David, emergency response plan?
Did we take 9.4?
No, we got 9.4.
Oh.
And I was hoping Jimmy was going to be here tonight to discuss this. Our boardwalk is in desperate need of repair. I asked Jimmy to get us some numbers for what he had included in the budget, but I haven't received that from him at this date. But I do think we need to, one of the recommendations of the bike ped plan was to widen the boardwalk and possibly build it out of a different material where it's more of a multi-use path, since bicycles aren't supposed to go the wrong way on a one-way street. Mm-hmm. That may take additional, I'm assuming, a variance, John, from CAMA?
It's quite possible.
Did you haven't had any conversation with them about that?
Briefly.
So I guess what I'd like to get out of this tonight, if we're going to go down that road to make this more of a multi-use path, I think we should start the process to see what the...
No, I agree. Public Works and Jimmy would like it to be...
Yeah.
A different material than the wood material.
See what Division of Coastal Management says we would have to do and what would be required of us. And then I would like to make sure we send out something to, I know several of those residents have talked to me about it, and we possibly go out to the residents at that point to show them our plan.
Okay. We'd also need to chase some grants, because when I saw the bike ped, that was $2 to $2.4 million,
right,
to use precast concrete to go to 10 feet or 12 feet.
10 feet wide.
10 feet.
So there's multiple parts to this puzzle. I think the first part has to start with DCM, if that's what you agree with that, John. So we're going to have to see what they're going to allow us to do.
Yes.
We should at least give them an idea of what we want to do, though. John can't just go, what can we do? I think it's better to say, we want a 10-foot concrete path.
Perfect.
8-foot.
But it's in the plan.
Yeah, and it's in our plan.
Is it 10-foot or 8-foot?
I think it's 10.
It's 10 in the plan.
It's 10 in the plan.
And it actually even recommends 12.
That's why I want to make sure John's taking the right thing, right? Because he said he already asked about 8-foot. So
I mean, yes. 10 would be best, 12 would be better, but I could live with 10.
Well,
and that puts it eastward then.
right? Because you can't encroach
yes,
on Atlantic.
Yes, that would put
you're
it.
You're going to be moving
that
eastward.
Would, eastward, yes.
Yeah, because you otherwise you'd have no road.
Right, right. And I think that could be.
Yeah, but we gotta put that to bed first.
Yeah. Okay.
So if we could. I guess the motion I would make that we would ask the building inspector to look into our options for the improvements of a boardwalk.
Now, I second that.
That's okay. I wanted to ask a question. Are we asking John to look at an elevated pre-concrete?
Yeah, I would say an elevated boardwalk. What they would allow us to say, Mo, you have?
The plan actually says minimum of 10 feet or 12 feet is recommended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
on page 26.
But, yeah. So the question is, elevated, are you going to embed it in the ground?
Well, whatever they would allow us to do. I think they may say it has to be elevated.
They'll want us to define it, and then they'll approve it or disapprove it, right?
So, multiple issues. The main one is, what kind of material are you talking about?
Precast concrete.
I wasn't ready to go down that road yet until we knew if they would allow us to encroach into eastward. If they say we'll only allow it by it being elevated and whatever material.
Well, that's why we have what we have.
Right.
Right.
Those
are a different set of rules at a different time. But I can definitely investigate it. Right.
How about investigating and if we need to bring this back up to us next month? I really would like to get an investigation or have a conversation with them on what we could or could not do.
Well, I think there's two pieces. One, we need to do the long-term thing, which is what John's doing. And then short-term, Ian says Jimmy's not here. We need to determine if we're going to use contractors with y'all's limited resources or not. But there's some specific issues that need to be addressed on the boardwalk, it sounds like. So I know you guys are inspecting them, but it's an ongoing thing. And if you take back to Jimmy so you guys can look at, is it so much now that with summer coming, we need to find a contractor and address that? And the bad thing about doing that now is building materials are horribly expensive for treated lumber that they're going to fix that. But we got to fix it, right?
But we've got several boards that have holes in them and side rails that are off.
Yeah.
They're not even attached.
Walked it this weekend, so.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Okay, so.
You got it?
So, John, if we can, we'll have a conversation and we'll bring something back to council can by next month.
But long-term, Public Works supports your changing it to some stronger material than wood.
Yeah. And I believe the budget had a pile of money in it for.
There's money in there for repairs.
There's money for next year. There's $40,000, I think,
right.
For like maintenance type things. And then there's probably a similar amount in there for this current year.
Like two sections.
That's right. Yeah, $40,000 is
okay.
Not very much, unfortunately.
No.
All right.
That's all I have.
Yes, sir. Sorry, was there a vote on that? I got a motion in a second.
Oh, there was a motion. Thank you. The motion was that John go ahead and perform this work, and it was a second. And we had a discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Mayor, can I interrupt for a minute?
Sure can.
I don't like to do this, but I want to go. It's the lesser of two evils to go back to an issue we've already addressed. On the remote participation policy, and thank you for Councilman Dan Kelly for bringing this to my attention. It's subject to the chair's approval. You're the chair, I want remote participation, I come to you, you tell me no. Do we want the policy to provide a right of appeal where the remote participant can put that question to the committee as a whole, or to the body as a whole? Mm.
I'm fine with it as it stands.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm kind of okay with the way it stands, just that So you might get a mixed, you get a mixed vote on from the committee.
Then that's fine.
You know, or...
Do you want to add anything?
No.
Okay. That's right. Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. Okay, David, emergency response plan.
So the county continues to work on their plan rewrite, which is including us. This is the May meeting when we normally bring up our plan. So I got something today for them, and I haven't had a chance to look at it. So I would recommend that the plan readopt our previous plan that has done us in good stead for this hurricane season until we can work through that issue with the department heads. I'll be forwarding it to them later this week, the county's new revised plan. And secondly, the only changes that I have recommended at this time that I've received were during the hurricane meetings where citizens had requested that post-hurricane the town do a drone flight and post it. And so I want to work with the fire chief, since we have a drone now, on how we would implement that and then get it posted following the hurricane. It came up in both meetings this weekend, or public information sessions, not meetings, but that citizens would feel much better far away if they could see something put out by the town of here's what the damage looks like. And I think now that we have a drone in the fire department, we can figure out how to do that. Do you agree, Chief?
Sure.
Yeah. So we'll figure that out and add it to the plan. And then remember, please review the plan because we adopted it at the June meeting next month. That's all. That's the only update for the operations
okay.
plan.
All right. Okay, moving into new business. 10.1 is a salary discussion. I want to make it known that earlier this year, we went through our budget process, and in that budget process, we had a cost of living increase and a merit increase for all of the people who support us in town. It's 46 full-time workers who maintain the services for this town the way that we expect them to be maintained, that provide all the things that we need them to provide, and that lately has been, I don't want to say it's not under attack, but it's under stress. By that I mean the county, after our original take on the budget, came out with the fact that they were going to significantly increase salaries across the board. I don't know if many of you saw it, but there was a point where there was actually on the electronic bulletin boards coming into town where they were, the county was advertising for employees. We took a look at that, and as a council, we decided that it was to the benefit of the town that we protect the employees that we have, and that we treat them accordingly, one, to maintain morale, and two, to maintain their support for our town. Therefore, we had an increase that is going to be effective June 2nd, Harlan, is that it? June 2nd?
June
4th. So that'll be effective on June 4th, which will, in essence, make it look like in this coming budget year there was no increase because it is happening a month before we actually go into the budget. So to eliminate the confusion, we have actually met the period that was advertised by the county and also now by Wrightsville and Carolina Beach and Wilmington, so that we are now in step with, our employees will be in step with the increases that have been brought forward by the rest of the people in our county. So there will be an increase to the to our budget. A budget amendment, I guess, Arlen, is what we will have for the June time period. But the increase does go through next year, but the increase will have already been done, so you will not necessarily see it effectively in next year's budget. This does not affect, or this is not an attempt to hide the salary increase. It is an attempt to make sure that our people are being treated the same as the rest of the folks in the county. I don't know if anybody wants to add anything to that.
No, I appreciate staff for bringing the details of what was happening in the rest of the towns to council's attention so we could discuss it fully and respond appropriately. I think it was a good discussion by staff, and appreciate the
great options. They give us great options. Arlen and his staff give great. Mandy give us great options on what to do.
And I do appreciate that it was targeted. While all of our employees, I believe, were treated fairly, definitely the larger increase was at the lowest paid bands of our employees, which is exactly where the issues are. So I think it was well done, well recommended by staff, and I support it. I'll be glad to make a motion whenever we're ready with discussion.
Okay. I guess, do we need a motion for that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's have a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve budget amendment number 22-11 that will increase the salaries for full-time employees beginning at the pay period of June 4, 2022. Band 1 or IA, I guess that's 1A, will receive 15% salary increases. Band 1, B, C, or D, 10% increases. Band 2, 9%, and Band 3, 8%.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Presentation of the budget message.
I think the back row has requested that I be quick.
Which maybe it's not behind.
I got the actual PowerPoint.
Yeah, it's behind there. You can see it. It's open. Okay.
Basically give a very high level overview with this. We've had multiple meetings on the budget, and so I'll just kind of hit the highlights for the different funds of the town. But some other information I need to provide is that this budget is prepared in accordance with North Carolina General Statute Section 159-11, that it's in conformance with the Local Government Budget and Fiscal Control Act, that once this is presented at this meeting and accepted by town council, there needs to be a public hearing. That public hearing has been scheduled for Monday, June 6th at 5 p.m. Also, copies of the budget will be available, or proposed budget will be available on the town website and also here at town hall. And finally, a balanced budget or an interim budget has to be adopted by July 1st. So the actual budget, general budget information, there's three parts. The budget message, which is included in the council agenda packet, that gives the highlights of each fund's budget and significant changes from the prior year. The actual draft budget ordinance, so that'll be the main document for adoption of the budget that summarizes all the each fund and then also the revenue and expenditure categories. And then finally, the draft fee schedule is the third part of the budget proposal, which shows all the fees and other charges for town services. Also, there's detailed line item budgets available for every department. If anybody would really like to take a look at that, they are available. So, what I also included, council had adopted some goals for fiscal year 23. I just listed those here. I don't think we really need to go into great detail, but the reason I put them here is because the budget proposal does support the goals that council adopted at the retreat held in, I think, January or February. So again, without reading through each one of those, it's, again, just wanted to put it here for informational purposes. So this slide number six, shows the actual proposed budget for fiscal year 23. Shows each individual fund. We have seven funds that kind of make up our operating accounts. The total budget for all funds is $11,847,595. That's about a $1.3 million increase over the original budget from this current year. So that's about a 12% increase. We'll kind of go through the reason for those increases. What I'd like to do is go fund by fund. And again, we'll just kind of hit the highlights for each one of the funds. So the first one is the general fund. So just some key takeaways are that overall, this fund is up almost 26%. We'll address some of the reasons for that as we go through the next couple slides. Another very key piece of information is the tax rate. Is being proposed not to change. It would remain at 26.58 cents per $100 of value. That's what it is for this, has been for this current year. The one fee that will increase is the recycle fee, and that's an increase of $1.16 a month. It's about a 14.6% increase. And it relates to a fee increase that will be passed along from our recycle vendor.
I make a motion we excuse Commissioner Dennis so that we can, I don't want to say your name wrong, so that he can go take care of a personal matter.
Okay.
Second. Need a second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Safe journey.
Thank you.
Aye.
Thanks, everyone. Sorry to interrupt.
So to continue on with the highlights for the general fund, as the mayor had spoken about just a couple minutes ago, there has also been the cost of living adjustment for town employees. Even though it's not specifically occurring in this upcoming fiscal year, the impacts are in this fiscal year, of course. So I just wanted to highlight that here. This budget also includes a significant amount of capital expenditures, over $1.4 million. And again, we'll talk about that in just a minute. And then the general fund also has debt service, so that's a loan interest, principal and interest payments of about just about $580,000. So that's kind of the highlights for the general fund. Quickly, this, some of these might be a little hard to see, there's a lot up here, but this just shows the breakdown of revenue for the general fund. And I'll really just highlight the top six, because those top six make up over 80% of the revenue for the fund. So our top source of revenue is property taxes. That's about 40% of the revenue, or about $3.3 million. Sales tax, 17%, that's about $1.5 million. Third one would be paid parking at 9%. That gross revenue was about estimated at $742,000. Garbage and recycle fees are about 7% of the budget. That's a little over $556,000. TDA funds, which is, there was some discussion about TDA earlier in this meeting, but for tourism related activities is estimated a little over $438,000. And then the last one I want to highlight is just franchise and utility taxes. They're about 4% of the budget, about $243,000. I'll just make one comment on the property taxes. As I said, it's the rate will remain unchanged. And it's based on an estimated tax base that's provided by New Hanover County. It's about $1.27 billion is the estimated tax base for the town. So that's where all the estimates are based on. Also a collection rate of like 99%, so it's very strong collections. There's also a category up there called other financing sources. I'll just mention that that goes along with the capital expenditures that we'll be doing and the number of items that we will be looking to finance. So that would plan financing is about $1.16 million. So that's a brief summary of the general fund revenue. If anyone has any questions. So next, I just wanted to show how that compares to the actual for fiscal year 21, the estimated for this current year, 22, and then it also shows the budget for fiscal year 23. And you'll see, you know, it's very consistent in a lot of categories. The most significant fluctuation thing like paid parking was just started in fiscal year 21, so it was only a half a year. You'll see that 22 and 23 are very comparable. Other financing at the very end, again, as I mentioned, you know, we have significant financing for capital expenditures in the upcoming year, so that's much higher than normal also. Other than that, most categories, as you see, are very, very consistent from year to year. So any questions on that information? I'll just move on to general fund expenses. And here I'll just kind of highlight the six largest components, and that's first is the fire department, about $1.2 million, or about 23% of the budget. Police at about $1.9 million, 22%. Public works, streets and sanitation, about $1.8 million, at 22%. Debt service is about 7%. Administration is a little over $425,000, or 5%. And then lifeguards at about $371,000, also approximately 5%. So those six functions account for about 84% of the budget, or slightly over $7 million of the of this budget. There's also, I think most of the other categories are pretty self-explanatory. There's one up there that says other. The main components of that are committees, about $95,000, and tax collection, and about $32,000. And community center operations at around $27,000. I don't know if anyone has any questions here. I mean, this is the fund where the bulk of the town services occur. So it's our largest fund. It's also the one of the most difficult to budget for, just because of all the different types of activities that are covered here. Any questions on the general fund before I move on to the next fund? Well, actually, before that, I'll just show that this kind of shows the comparison of actual for fiscal year 21, estimated for 22, and budget for 23. And even though this looks like more fluctuation, it primarily relates to the amount of capital expenditures in any given year. And that's why you'll see, like, police, fire, and streets and sanitation all have capital expenditures planned for fiscal year 23, which makes those years look kind of out of line with other years. So it really can fluctuate from year to year, but it's primarily capital expenditures. So then we can move on to the water and sewer fund. The main highlights here are that overall this budget is actually almost 3% less than the current year budget. No proposed changes to the water and sewer rates. It also includes about $325,000 for infrastructure projects. And the debt service in this fund is a little over, or almost $363,000. So we'll just look at the revenue in this one. This pie chart shows that. The main revenue sources, of course, are water and sewer charges. They make up about 80% of the fund's revenue. The other significant piece for the upcoming year is a transfer into this fund from our American Rescue Plan Grant Project Fund. And that ultimately will be the funding source for many of the infrastructure projects So this chart, like I did with the general fund, just shows the comparative information for 21, 22, and 23. And you'll see with no increases in water and sewer rates. Those are pretty much equal across those three time periods. The other thing that increases the most of near the right side of the chart is transfers in. Again, I just mentioned the transfer from the American Rescue Plan Fund. And then financing sources, really don't have any, at this point, anticipated needs to finance anything in 2023. We do have a fairly significant item we're financing that actually was just approved by council earlier in the meeting on the consent agenda of a vacuum truck that was just delivered last week. Any questions on water and sewer revenue? Then we'll look at water and sewer expenses real quick. Here, as we'd expect, the bulk of the expenses relate to water and sewer operations. The other components, finance, administration, operations, and governing body and legal, account for about 22% of the total water and sewer fund budget. This budget does include, as I mentioned, about $325,000 of infrastructure projects, things like sewer pipe relining, well rehabilitation, lift station control panel replacements, and sewer lagoon baffle replacements. Any questions on that? So this also just shows the comparative information for the same time periods as some of the other slides. Again, most of the different departments are fairly consistent year to year, and the difference in operations really relates to the level of primarily capital expenditures, but also certain maintenance that's performed. Also for 2023, we're planning sludge removal from the sewer lagoon, which is a fairly significant maintenance expense. Any questions on water and sewer expenses? We'll move on to stormwater. So this budget actually is almost 14% less than the current year budget. No proposed changes to the monthly stormwater fees. About $240,000 for infrastructure projects, and this fund has debt service of approximately $66,000. So here we'll look at the components of the stormwater fund revenue. The largest piece is the actual stormwater fees that everybody sees on their monthly water and sewer bill. There's also a component on there for stormwater. The second largest piece is actually an appropriation of fund balance that we're planning to use for to pay for a portion of the infrastructure projects that are planned to be done. The third largest piece is stormwater building fees, which are charged on new construction and certain, I guess, additions, alterations to properties also. Any questions on stormwater revenue? So this chart shows the, again, comparison of the fiscal year 21, 22, and then the budget for 23. And with no changes in stormwater fees, you see that 22 and 23 are pretty much equal. The building fees are really based on expected building activity. You see the appropriation of fund balance that I just mentioned in the next to last on the right side. And then other financing for this current year, 22, again, half of the back machine that I mentioned for the water and sewer fund, half of that was actually charged to this fund also, since it's used for the water, for both sewer and for stormwater. Any questions on stormwater revenue? Okay, we'll move on to stormwater fund expenses. About 49% of the budget is for operating expenses, things like salaries, maintenance, supplies, those types of things. About 11% is the debt service, for loans related to stormwater infrastructure and equipment. And then 40% for capital outlay or the infrastructure projects. There's multiple projects that are planned for fiscal year 23. Next, I'll just show that comparative information again for the stormwater fund. Again, the operations, you see an increase projected for fiscal year 23. Part of that is to actually perform a stormwater study of the southern part of Curie Beach. There was one done previously for the northern sections. Between that and then the compensation changes that we talked about earlier, those are probably the main drivers for the increase in operations costs. And then capital outlay can fluctuate greatly depending on the amount of equipment and or infrastructure projects that are necessary. So any questions about stormwater fund expenses? So we're almost at the end, the last couple of smaller funds. Powell Fund, which is a primarily funded through an allocation from the North Carolina Department of Transportation, can only be used for states there, street-related maintenance, repairs, construction, that type of thing. So the budget for that is $70,075. That's really just based on what's estimated to be our allocation from the DOT, and then also just a little bit of interest on fund investments. Any questions on Powell Fund? The next one is the Asset Forfeiture Fund. That's actually the funding source for that is when the police department participates in investigations conducted by certain federal agencies and then share in the assets that are forfeited based on the amount of participation that we provide for the investigation. This fund can only be used for police-related activities, can't be used for to supplement, I guess, our actual general fund operating budget. It has to be things above and beyond the normal operating expenses for the police department. So for fiscal year 23, the funding source and actually amount of expenses is estimated at $25,000. It will be funded through an appropriation from the fund balance of this fund. Any questions on federal asset forfeiture? Okay, the next one is the Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund. This actually is funded through system development fees on new construction. The purpose of this fund, as it says there, is for future expansion and or repairs, construction on the sewer system. So the system development fees are currently, it's $592 for new construction. So we estimate those fees will be about $8,880, and then there's also some additional interest on fund investments to bring this fund to $9,150. Any questions on the SURF fund? Okay, finally, there's the Beach Protection Fund. This fund was established, I think, back in 2014. Really, at that point, there was a concern about future funding for beach nourishment projects, as well as other things ranging from beach access improvements to dune maintenance, dune plantings, beach signage, etc. For this upcoming year, the revenue source is $610 of related to fund investments. Each year, we kind of evaluate whether there's additional funds that can be transferred from the general fund. We'll be doing that for this current year at the June council meeting, and we would do that same approach at the end of fiscal year 23 also for any other funding opportunities for beach protection. So any questions on beach protection? Mm-mm.
I think we spent a lot of time on it since February, so
right,
we pretty much got it down.
Right. So I'd say, conclusion yep. then on everything that, it, I think this is a, reasonable plan. I think we spent a lot of time putting it all together. I think it addresses the priorities of the town, it addresses council's goals. And then just wanted to thank everybody on the back row back here that and everybody else that participated in the development of the proposed budget. So with that, if there's any questions that anybody might have, I'll be...
Thank you, Arlen. And
so we've already established the public hearing date.
Correct.
And it's already scheduled. You don't need anything from us. Okay.
Do we not have to approve?
Well, I think you just...
We have to approve the budget, right?
I'm not sure if you make a motion.
We need a motion to approve the budget.
You really have to accept the
budget. Well, the budget will be voted on.
So that then it can be...
But we have to show the community the budget.
Yeah.
You want to approve it till after the public hearing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't really need a motion.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Nice job.
Yeah.
Thank you, Arlen.
By the entire team.
Yes. It's pretty good to go through all our capital equipment, no tax increases, et cetera, et cetera. So good job all around. Okay. Next item is discussions about dogs on the beach.
Mr. Mayor, last month we had several citizens that came to us during public comment, talked about the possibility of us considering the changing of our current ordinance about dogs on the beach. I thought we should at least owe them the discussion of the matter. I'm not advocating for changing anything. I just wonder if we need to reach out to these people. They did make some good points. Times have changed, that type of thing. And see if we want to come back with some type of recommendation to us that we would be, and if we don't want to move forward, that's fine, but I thought we at least owed them that courtesy to do that.
No, I agree. I'd like to hear the department head's thoughts on it. The two that have to deal with the most is fire and police.
Yeah, and I think we do have to give it some consideration. So
I think we should also listen to the beach beautification committee, and also the people who do the cleanup on the beach who have signed up to clean sections of the beach.
So how do we get all those inputs then?
Of course, Commissioner Panicali is not here. We could obviously have him work with his former committee on the beach cleanup and on the how the Beach Beautification Committee feels about that stuff. We can certainly, I guess we can interview the department heads that are impacted or just get their feelings.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, it showed up on the agenda and no one showed up either way, which I don't know if that says anything, but, you know, I was expecting, of course, we went really late tonight too, right?
But so, I did expect some of them to.
Yeah, on both sides. I sort of expect somebody on both sides, honestly. But I think I'm interested in, because it is a bit of a problem right now, right? So we have Carolina Beach, which has some rules that we're not in sync with. Not saying we should be, but we do. So on the north end, and then the south end, there are no rules. So coming from both sides, all the rules are different for police and fire, I mean lifeguards, to deal with at both ends of the beach.
When I think about the rules on the beach, I mean, I've talked to the police chief about this a little bit, and factually, the police chief is either concerned about no dogs on the beach or dogs on the beach other than a certain time. So from the perspective of the police department, we're not helping him, we're not hurting him, I don't think, based on whatever direction we take. I mean, I have my own personal feelings about it, but we should get other views.
I agree.
So what's the path forward, right? I mean, from my perspective, I would like the department heads and the committees to tell us what their thoughts are. The citizens, some citizens have came to council,
mm-hmm.
like 10 of them, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Which is less than 1% of the population. I don't know that. If you look at the land use plan, it was not in the top five because I went back and looked at it, right?
Yeah, the land use plan was some people thought we should
right.
have stricter rules and some thought we should have Right, restricted.
Yeah, which is the way it usually comes forward on this.
Well, that's why we get to decide, right?
So, that's right.
So if possibly, Mayor, if you could do a department head meeting or something.
I will do a department head meeting.
We'll get Dennis
to look. Dennis to look at that. And any other ideas?
Yeah, I think that's good enough.
Do we need to hear the views of both sides of it? I've tried to talk to people about it that I'm associated with. I'm at about 50-50 from what I'm hearing from them.
Well, that's exactly where it is on the avenue, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have three dogs, so my wife's all for changing it to any time. I'm the other way, so that's just in the house. And then down the street...
That's still 50%.
Yeah, right. I know, exactly right. And then down the street, there are neighbors that I'm sure the chief could tell you who calls him every time they see a dog on the beach, or his officers at the end of the avenue. And I'm sure there's other houses that are the same way. So I think we need to see, let the department heads lead us on what's the best thing for us dealing with the public, and then move on, okay. Whatever that is. That's my personal opinion.
I can live with that.
That's my personal opinion, right? I think if Public Works and the committee that deals with the beach and fire and police are all in line either way, I think that's the where I would be.
Okay. All right.
Because they have to deal with it every day. I mean.
Okay. We'll begin that test process. The only real test process that I'm aware of in the past was the election.
Well, yeah, that one's pretty straightforward. But
yeah.
There were some other issues.
Yes, probably were.
All right. So, do we need to reach out to the people that were here last month?
I think
we should go do our work.
Do our work first and then reach out to them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll actually would have to reach out to everybody.
Yeah, true.
Well, I think it's about time for a mayor update anyway. You say we're discussing this in the next meeting, and we're getting, you know, it's going to be discussed, mm-hmm. right? It's been brought to the council's attention. Council's doing the work, and we're going to discuss it at the June meeting.
Okay. So we'll continue that way. Mandy, scheduled for department head evaluations?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a recommendation?
Well, normally we do it the day of our June council meeting.
Sorry. Okay, well, and that would be?
The 20th. June 20th, right?
And we usually begin around noon.
Yeah.
I make a motion we schedule department head evaluations for noon on June 20th.
So I have a second.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So
aye.
So be it.
Mandy, will y'all please send us out the updated version of the
evaluation
plan? Thank you.
Okay. The final item. Gentlemen, and I don't know if you can put it on screen there, Mandy, so people know what I'm talking about. Starting with the current parking. Yeah. What you're looking at the top of the screen is Atlantic Avenue. On your extreme left is the Hatteras ramp coming off of the beach. And then, of course, N Avenue is coming out to Fort Fisher Boulevard. In Coffee with the Mayor, quite a few people have come up and said there's quite a bit of pandemonium in that little area of N Avenue. We have cars parked parallel. We have cars parked, I guess we'd call that vertically. And we have people who race down N Avenue and then turn down to the 1, 2, 3, or 4th large area down near the lighthouse. They try to race down there down the one-way street to make sure that they get to the lighthouse. So there was discussion that we've got people coming out, people coming in, people coming off the beach, bikes coming off the boardwalk, strollers coming off the boardwalk. We have people trying to park. Can't we do a better job? The chief and I talked about it a little bit. And if you could go to the next slide. What this slide shows is that you would keep Atlantic Avenue one way, heading north, and you would make N Avenue one way, heading out to Fort Fisher Boulevard, at which time you could actually go to parking as you see it indicated there and avoid some of the difficulties that we've had in the past. You would not have people coming in and people coming out and people trying to park, come off the boardwalk. So it was a recommendation. So my thought would be, unless there's any major concerns, that I would probably look at John and Mike and we'll figure out if there's really enough space. We're probably gonna need fire department input on that as well to do this if we so deem that that makes sense.
Yeah, my only concern is that's the access to the beach for the fire department. If we do that, we need to make that road an extra wide road so that, because if they try to come down and turn at M and then go up Atlantic Avenue, they could get blocked off to get to the beach in an emergency situation. So it needs to be wide enough that they can get around people going the wrong way on that one small part.
You mean
in
on
emergency?
N or?
On N, on just N. On N. Which I think you could do that. You just make those parking spaces a little more angled than yeah. Normal. Which makes them easier to get into and out of anyway. But that's my only concern.
Okay.
I kind of think it's a smart move after being up there quite a bit. But I do want to make sure that the beach vehicle can get to the ramp without having to go a block on Atlantic Avenue with people that won't get out of the way. Because they can't get out of the way on Atlantic Avenue.
No, you can't. There's only one. It's one lane.
Mayor, at one point there was a improvement project projected through the WMPO. Mo, I don't know if it's still on the books or not, but to actually run the sidewalk somehow for pedestrians to get through that area from N Avenue down to the boardwalk. That was back in my day 5 years ago on that committee. We're trying our best to figure out ways to get people to that boardwalk in a safe manner. I don't know how that comes into play, but I think that should be considered too.
Well, I think you could fit a boardwalk. I mean, you could fit a walkway in there.
Yeah.
Public Works just asked that it's asphalt or concrete, not wood.
Yeah. Where the stone is, I think you could get
to do something like boardwalk.
Yeah. On either side, it could be on the north side too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be on the north side.
So we already got the curb cut down at the bottom down there at N Avenue.
Right. Yeah. So my point is if we're okay, we'll investigate this and see if there's anything that has value. If there's no value, we'll drop it. If there's value, we'll consider doing it.
Should we let the citizens in there know we're looking at that? That live adjacent to there? Do we know? We normally do that, right, John?
Yeah.
Or well, if we change stuff, like roads and stuff?
The lady in the home right on Fort Fisher in N is the woman who talked about complaints, right? The other one is actually access from Atlantic.
Yep.
The only one that this would affect is the one on the corner there.
Okay. Well, if that's who's asking, that's fine. I was just asking.
No, that's fair.
And then, John, all that property just to the north of there, that's owned by the HOA, right? That's not...
It's probably owned by the Grimes family.
Okay. Which is the house right beside it?
That's where they own.
No, it's a different... that's a different owner. Yeah.
It's not a buildable lot, or is it?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Wow. Okay.
They just voted last week.
Actually, the
a
way that picture
house
looks,
or something?
The way that picture looks, it makes it look quite thin because it's long. It's actually a big lot.
It is a big lot.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if the setbacks messed it up or something. Okay, that's fine.
I have just a quick question. So this house on the corner, this lady.
Yes.
Is going to have to go all the way down and around in the
legally,
middle of the summer.
Legally.
To get to her driveway.
Well, she's all the way down around would be down to the first cutoff, which is a block down.
Well, still, it's a lot in the summer.
She has to go down M to come back.
Yeah.
Or she can cut the corner, I guess. I'm not sure.
Just curious.
Well, yeah. That's what I was saying. Because
she was going to want to move her driveway.
That other lot on Atlanta, actually, a lot of those people go the wrong way down there, I think. I mean, Chief, what are your thoughts? I'm pretty sure that's what happens.
Going down Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think too, Greg.
Well, this first house right here on Atlanta, know they come and turn right there.
That's what I was saying. You should, I mean, hopefully that'll stop that because it is a little dangerous, but.
Yeah.
Well, I think David makes an excellent point about the emergency vehicles and how we're going to deal with that, whether we can widen it enough for them to get on the beach.
All right, we'll take a look at it. Mm.
Well, people will pull over. I think as long as it's an extra wide road that they can pull over somewhere, you know, a sidewalk or whatever, people will pull over for the red lights. But I just don't want them to get jammed up. They're going to go the wrong way down that street or they're not going to get on the beach as fast as we might want them.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Chief? Both Chiefs, sort of, with that thought?
Yeah, I think a big concern would be just people pulling into an avenue, pulling into the one way, and then all of a sudden realizing it's a one way and having to back out on Fort Fisher Boulevard.
Yeah, that's going to be a learning thing, I think.
It definitely needs to be marked better. But right now, our problem too is you have cars on both sides and you have both way traffic. People do go the wrong way on Atlantic, and if you have both way traffic, cars on both sides, you still got a fire truck coming through.
Right.
I mean, it's, in the summertime, everything around here is difficult. So,
yes.
I didn't even think about it, beach access, to be honest with you, when me and the mayor were talking about it, but it's a good point.
I would rather study it and do it at the end of the season than right now, but I think long term it's a smart thing to do.
Chief Kim, we just had a call down there the other Saturday. It wasn't a real call, but you had your pumper truck, you had engine one, you had your pickup, and what else? We had both your
fire
pickup.
A couple of bicyclists, walkers.
Yeah, and a policeman all in there at one time. They saw the lifeguards training and they called it in.
Yeah.
So it was really kind of just a exercise, it'd be an exercise, but it was a lot of things going on. There was nobody really parked there either.
Right.
Okay, well, Mo.
Can I just make a comment? We're talking about, you know, one of the things in the plan was to widen the boardwalk so bicycles could be on it, because right now bicycles can only go north. But the idea was, because bicycles could go that way and then go south on the widened boardwalk. And if we didn't let them come in there, there would be no reason for them to use the boardwalk to be widened.
That's a fair point. I mean, it is a fair point. You always have that, do we really have a safety problem down there? If not, let's do nothing. If we do have a safety problem down there, we should do something.
I think when you look at it, most point in mind would be is you make a walk and bike path that can go to the beach, but cars go one way, and you can do that, right? So you can have, you just have to separate them. You got to do the space right. But I think it's probably big enough. I mean, I'm assuming, and John, you might not know, I assume our property line is where we end the marl on there. So we're right up to the property line, I would assume, to the north.
We are. It should be a 50-foot right-of-way through
there. Yeah. So with a 50-foot right-of-way, you can have a one-way and
sure,
do everything else, yeah. Right? And you may not, maybe you lose those three parking spaces to the south or something, or maybe you can save them all by making those angled as well.
Yeah, I was thinking the
same. Right, you can make both angles.
Yeah.
Your angle on both sides, you keep the same number of parking spaces, but you have a walkway or a shared space walk, bike, and a car. And the fire truck could still get through if it had to. It might be big enough for all of that, I think.
We can take a look at, and you're right, we can do that stuff at end of season, but we should at least get an opinion
now,
do the work now. Okay. All right. I don't have any other mayor updates. Any other commissioner items? John, you have anything?
Nothing additional. Thank you.
Okay. Alan?
I don't think I do. If I do, I forgot it.
David?
Nothing additional, sure. It's been a long one.
Okay. Any closed sessions scheduled? Okay. Guess what I'll take?
Make a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.